verses 27 through 32. And once again, I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, so I invite you to take a look at your translation if you would like and see what you notice. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a joy for me to be here with you. I want to especially thank Jerry for stepping down for his opportunity to preach this morning. So thank you. I might use, and I find it perfect that we had different translations, because I might use words that aren't the words you might use. I use the words faith and spirituality and religion interchangeably. And if you don't like one of the ones I use, please make sure to use the one that you would rather hear. I like to talk about religion. I like to talk about religion within reason, and to be reasonable about religion. This is what I talk about. Is they say that in our world it's going to look like I'm doing the sign of the cross. That's just to make a box. They say that we live in four different worlds. That we live in the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the spiritual. And it spells pies. P-I-E-S. We live in the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the spiritual worlds. And I would like to talk about this one. What is in the spiritual world? And usually we define the spiritual as privative, which is a fancy word of saying it ain't this one, this one, and this one. But it doesn't tell us what it is. In the spiritual realm, we have experts, and we're all very good at paying experts and hiring experts to help us with the physical. We know how to get help in the intellectual. We know about the emotional. I'm married to a therapist. And the spiritual, it's actually something that we can look at reasonably. There's science behind it, and I want us to look at it, but first let me give some tools. Jung, Carl Gustav Jung, said that our greatest tool to look at the spiritual realm is to understand paradoxicality. And paradoxicality says this, that there are two sides to a coin, and neither is true, and both are true. That when we look at the spiritual realm as an adult, we can see that the opposite of something that is true can also be true. Let me try it with an example. On this side of the coin, this is actually an old rabbinic tradition from Rabbi Simcha Bunim of Pesachta. I just wanted credit for saying his name. Although, I'm not really sure any of you would know it, but I was wrong. But Rabbi Simcha Bunim said that we should at all times have two ideas in our pockets. The one, for my sake, the world was created. And on the other side, we should have in our minds, I am but dust and ashes. For my sake, the world was created, yes. I am but dust and ashes, yes. that the opposite of something that is true can also be true. In the spiritual realm, in what I want us to be looking at, we need to understand that truth, there is truth, but it doesn't always mean that it's simple. It's not always binary, this or that. In spirituality, it's usually this and that. What I talk about, right in the back where Eric is, there's a bag on the table. And in that bag, there it is, hold that up for a second, there's a whole set of these little coins, if you'd like to take one, so you can remember, what was the word I used? Everyone say paradoxicality.
Paradoxicality.
Paradoxicality is the ability to have a paradox, knowing that both are true at the same time. So those are a little gift from Religion Outside the Box to you. They say don't take any wooden nickels. I'll let you be your judge. Physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual. The spiritual realm is where wonder exists. The spiritual realm is where connection is. Now, I want to take a time out and talk about that reading from John, because it was an awkward moment when we both realized what the text said. It said, for John had his issues with Jews. We know that. His community around the year 100, there's a phrase that comes to my mind, which is one of the best ways to form any group is to have a resentment and a coffee pot. That was John. The John community was a new community, and John was very much saying, we ain't them. We're not really sure what we are, but we ain't them, and John is very... But the question comes to, what do you do with the things you don't like? And we talked about, maybe we'll change the scripture reading for today. And then we said, we can't do that. Because if the rabbi wasn't coming, we would have done that reading anyhow. And so the rabbi's coming, we're going to hide that? So here's the question. What do we do with our dirty laundry? Do we pretend we don't have it? That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like the ethical thing to do. It seems dishonest. And as people of faith, we must be honest. We must strive for being honest. Can we agree with that? We don't have to be honest. How are you?
Great!
Well, sometimes you're not. How are you? I'm having a hard time. I would challenge us to be more honest. Ooh, that's rough. I'm not seeing a lot of smiles or nods on that one. All right, that's just one man's opinion. There's something, and I have this card. I don't know if you can read it there. My daughter helped me with the cards. So this one just says Jesus in all shiny letters. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And this is the Sunday after Easter Sunday, so congratulations on showing up today. That Christianity has this wonderful idea that what do we do with the parts of ourselves that we don't like? Realize that you're loved for those also. That's where there's a theology of the cross that says that God loves us in our broken places. Yeah, God can be proud of us when we're doing everything great. But where God really loves us is where we're completely a mess and where we're broken. So what do we do with the parts of ourselves we don't necessarily like? Well, put them out there. Because we're loved in our totality. I do find it odd to have a rabbi preaching this at a church. but I'm going with it. Let me get to the spiritual life. My definition, my working definition for a spiritual life is questioning our societal self-obsession and transforming towards, and I don't have what the towards is yet, but a definition of a spiritual life is questioning our societal self-obsession. Questioning our societal self-obsession and transforming towards. Maybe I can put a period right there. Let me break this down into five parts. This is the work of Eric Fromm. He said there are five qualities to a spiritual life. The first quality of a spiritual life is that, I don't know if you can see me when I'm drawing in the air, but that questions are greater than statements. First quality of living a spiritual life, well, for you guys that question mark's backwards, but I was doing it for them. That questions are more important than statements. Werner Erhard said, understanding is the booby prize. I'm glad you like that. I did too. Rumi said, sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment. Certainty, as delicious as it is, only means that we're certain. And if you really use your logical thoughts, how much are you really certain of, besides the fact that you're not certain? First quality of a spiritual life is embrace the questions. My daughter wrote these out a little bit differently. She wrote, questions are greater than everything, question everything. I like that. Quality one of a spiritual religious life is what? Questions. Oh, this is from when I taught in high school and my kids, I didn't give them homework, so I had to teach them. Because they didn't need homework. I didn't need to fill their time. So I'm going to quiz you. It's not that I don't know the answer, but the first quality is? This is so you learn it. Second quality of a spiritual life. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about self-obsession. Second quality of a spiritual life is knowing there's something. Of course, you all have to put yourselves first at times. But it's about a greater something. First quality of spiritual life is about questions. Second quality of a spiritual life is it's not about self. My daughter wrote, sometimes you're not the only thing that's important. And then she wrote here, in parentheses, crazy, right? Then she wrote, I mean, this weekend I was planning going on a bike ride, but no. We have two qualities of spiritual life right now. We have. Third quality of a spiritual life looks like this. Yeah, it's about connection. It's about connectedness. It's about knowing that we are part of something greater. The same way that the leaf of a tree is at one with the roots of a tree. And we know that we are connected, that we are all fingers on the same hand. There's this one, you're going to like this one. You're going to like this one. What's she like the other one? They say in Hawaii, we would look at it and we would say that all of the islands in Hawaii are separated by water. But in Hawaiian culture, they say it is the water that connects the islands together. This is about connection. We have three qualities of spiritual life going on. Questions? Connections. She wrote, there are infinite things in the world. It's like I'm playing Family Feud with my daughter who's not here. Next quality of a spiritual life is understanding. Can you see that picture? It's like a pyramid with different lines. Is that some things are more important than other things. People who live a fulfilled, who understand that there's a religious life, a life of faith, know that love is more important than, I don't like the color of your dress.
What?
Really? That there's a hierarchy of values, that not all values are equal. And people who live a spiritual life tend to agree that connection and love and those good ones are up at the top. We have questions. We have not about me. Connection, hierarchy of values. Or as Annie wrote it, not everything is equal. Some things are bigger than other things. And then she wrote, here's her hierarchy. Going to the mall at the top. And below that, doing my homework. Fifth quality, what was this fourth one again?
Hierarchy
of values, good. And the fifth one, Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway said, I don't like writing, I like having written. That's going to play in really big in this one. The last quality of a spiritual life is knowing that we are not to transform this world, we are here to be transformed by the world. Paul, and I didn't look up his quote, there's a great quote where Paul says something about metanoia, that it's about transforming the self. Thomas Merton is attributed to having said, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't think the you of today is a heretic, you're not growing spiritually. I'm going to say that again because it's a really good quote. Thomas Merton is attributed to have said, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't think the you of today is a heretic, you're not growing spiritually. Now, I've done a lot of thinking on this one. Let me see what my daughter wrote. She wrote, go on with your life. The dots symbolize there's more than just one thing in life. No, she got that one wrong. Right? Now, let me put it differently. I did not explain that one well enough for a 10-year-old to grasp. This last one, I think of an arrow about transformation. And here's the thing. Show of hands. How many people don't think the same way that they did 10 years ago? Okay, show of hands, how many of you have the freedom of will to raise your hand if you want? That's just a survey. Okay, that's for fun. Most of you are not the same person as you were 10 years ago. How many of you think in 5-10 years you're going to be exactly the same as you are now? Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Oh, hi, puppy. Remember the Hemingway quote? I find that people like having been transformed. Y'all get the other part of that? Ain't nobody who's like, yeah, sure, I want to transform. That's going to be great. Let all the thoughts and let my theology that I've been holding on to crumble so I can get a new one. Nobody wants to do that. But I think, and that's where I'm going to leave with a charge. Oh, let me go through them again. This last one, we're going to do them backwards. Transformation. Hierarchy of values, let me just remind us, these are all qualities of a spiritual life. This one was? Connection. It's not about us. Embrace the questions. Love the questions. There's one thing I forgot to do. Hold on. I forgot to do a selfie. Wait, say hi. Okay, choir. Good. What quality of the spiritual life is that? It is questioning a little bit our societal norms. No, selfie's all about me. I think it could be on that one. Anyone have a case for that? I would definitely say
5 years ago.
5 years ago, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah, but we didn't have the technology. I would say hierarchy of values. I mean, there's a teaching in Judaism that this rabbi went to go hear another rabbi preach. I said, "What are you doing? You already know everything you know." And he said, "I didn't go to hear him preach. I went to see how he ties his shoelaces." Let me unpack that. It's not what we say. So let me stand here firmly in the hierarchy of values. What I say is something, and maybe you'll remember some of the words. But I think more of what I do, it's that beautiful quote from Maya Angelou. People might not remember what you say. They might not remember what you do. But they'll remember how you made them feel. And you guys wrote in the little blurb about me words that I like the best. It said, "Visit Rabbi Brian on the web for his wisdom in whimsy." And I think that's what the selfie is the whimsy. And the hierarchy of values is, yeah, this is a church, but doesn't that mean we should be joyous? Doesn't that mean we should have some fun? So let me conclude by saying this. I hereby challenge you all to allow yourselves to transform from who you think you need to be and to get out of this thinking and to enjoy the ride. And let's find out where we go from here. I will ask you at this time, those in body and in spirit who are able to stand, to please stand as we will continue with our worship.